So let's just be open to the move of God and be open to God's move outside of this place too. Because I really believe that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and there is a new freedom and liberty that is in this body. And that it's just coming in the body, and it's going to be hard to contain it. So I'm just trying to help you just be ready for that and what that looks like. It's not going to be what you thought it was and how you think it was back in the 90s and how you perceive God to do it. But God's going to do something different because you are the church, and the Spirit of God is swelling inside of his people. And anytime he begins to swell inside of his people, there is an overflow of that swelling that cannot be stopped. And so he is getting ready to tap some of you and say, hey, listen, I need you to overflow. And this is part of what's happening in the world right now. It's part of what's happening in this season. The world has been boxed up, and they have been serving a limited God, and they have been settling for less than God's best. But God said, I've had enough, and I want my church to take the stage. And it's a reason why I'm raising up a church in these latter days who are going to do things that I've called them to do, the Lord says, and that you're going to do greater things, he said, greater things because of my Spirit that's within inside of you. And remember that I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. There is no fear in love, God said. I love you passionately. There's no fear in it. And so if you're in here today and there's a hint of fear and you're dealing with anxiety, God said, I want to help you deal with it. I don't want you hiding anymore. You're my bride. And I'm coming back for you. Spotless. He said, if that means if I have to allow you to get in situations where you cry out for me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. That means even in suffering. Because as we learned this morning, in suffering, you begin to identify with Christ. Not just the dead Christ, but the risen Christ. And this is why we celebrate, and as we go into Easter, why we celebrate Easter so much, is because he didn't stay there, but he rose from the dead. He was raised to life. Amen? Yeah, thank you. John chapter 11. Let's take a look at this here. And this is an appropriate scripture as we begin to read this over the next several weeks. I want you to really ask the Lord to help you. Lord, where are some areas of my life that I'm dead? And there are some things that I've stopped believing you for. Verse 1, it says, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. Hear this. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. You're expecting Jesus to do it on your timetable. And to do it when you ask him to do it. And the reality of it is that God has a time when his purpose will be fulfilled. Because this was not just about Lazarus. Lazarus was already dead. This wasn't just about him. It was about the city he was going into. God will purposely wait because he wants to do something on a larger scale. And if that means that you have to tarry a little bit, you'll tarry. Because God knows that he has the power to heal. And not just that, but he can send the word and a situation can change. But the reality of it is that we are stuck in this in-between stage of we know that God can and God will. And there's this in-between stage of, well, how does that look like for me? What do I do in the in-between stage? You got to wait on it. Because that's where the faith is perfected. If God did it for you right away, you would praise God for it. But there's a deeper purpose at stake when God goes to work in your life. Remember, it's a work that God is stretching out, not just for here, but he's getting you ready for eternity. And so God can heal you here. He can make you wait for your healing, but either way, you're going to be healed. But the purposes of God trump how you feel about it. So I didn't list the rest of the scriptures up there on what happened in the story. You can go back and read it later. Most of us are familiar with it. Jesus waits 2 days. He goes in. He goes in and they are wailing. The city, they are wailing for this death. The sisters are very distraught. And if you read certain manuscripts, Jesus, and the Bible said Jesus was angry in his spirit, angry. Well, he doesn't get angry. He's inclusive. No, he got angry. And people would look at it and say, well, it's just a great story of emotionalism and compassion, because in John 11:35, he wept. And it wasn't the weeping like you think it was. I believe he was angry because of their lack of faith, of his ability to either not come or come. If he wouldn't have come, would it have still been okay? Yeah. But what about these people who are waiting? If he wouldn't have come, would they have been okay? They would have been okay, because eventually they would have stopped crying and realized he's not coming back. Lazarus is not coming back. And we've got to move on. Or if the conversation went a little bit differently and Jesus said, I know, and don't worry about it, because we're going to get some glory out of it, and he left it at that, would that have been enough? If he would have decided not to go back into the city, but he decided to go back because he said, don't worry about it, this is going to be for God's glory, because there's a bigger purpose at stake here. This is not just about Lazarus. It's about the city. It's about the people in the city. So sometimes you got to wait on what you're asking God for, because it's not just about you. It's just about, it's about all those people that are around who are also waiting for that miracle. Because when God does something, it doesn't just touch one person. It swells out. It's a reason why we talk about the woman at the well so much, because that one miracle of him meeting that woman at the well changed the whole entire city, because this woman went crazy in her faith and began to tell everybody in the city, come see a man who told me everything I ever knew. It wasn't about her. It was about the city and Jesus. He reached her because he knew that through her, the city would be reached. He did something in you because he knew that your family would be reached. That's why he took you out of where you were and said, I'm going to do something in your life, because generations are going to change because of you. You, I'm going to start something new with you. You. And we get caught up with the whys. And I understand the whys and the difficulties and the suffering. But he said, if you see what I see, that it's something bigger than you, that generations, things are going to break off because of your yes to me. Things are going to change because you decided to step out. Blind eyes are going to open because you decided to trust me for healing. That people are going to be raised from the dead because you went through a death process yourself. And now the Spirit of God that's within you is going to help raise people back to life. God said, I got it for you. Yeah. I'm taking you through it. I'm taking you through it because it's about those that I'm sending you to. I'm sending you to them. You got to know who Jesus is. Got to wait on it. And this is the tension in being a Christian and waiting on the promise and actually seeing the promise take place. I've got this band here. And those who are very familiar with this band, because it symbolizes pain. So when I pull this band up like this, what's happening in this band right now? There's tension that's there. This is the tension between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. That's where you are. Believe in God that he's going to come through. And God said, it's in that where I'm going to perfect your faith, right there. But you got to be able to hold the tension of it, because I don't just do it right away. It'll take years for it to come back. But God's still good. And even if it doesn't come back all the way, he's still good. That's the tension of trusting God for, is God still good? Because he promised that I would walk again. He promised that I would see again. He promised that I would praise him again. Is it okay for me in the process to be able to hold the tension? God said, yeah, because most people fail in the tension. The tension is where I'm at. I can do the rep, God said. I could send the word and healing could happen. That's not the problem. I have all power to do whatever I like to do. But I like to be inside the tension, the process, because that's where you are and that's where the struggle is and that's what I like. So if we can struggle with it together, I'll build in you the strength that you need to be able to hold when the promise is fulfilled, what it actually means to actually walk in the fulfillment of the process and the promise. Why? Because you know that city was then turned when Lazarus came out and he said, come forth. Now, we're not just talking about come forth. We're talking like come forth. Because when Jesus calls you, you got to go. You know how that is for you when he called you out of your lifestyle and he said, you got to come with me, come forth. Yeah. Kicking and screaming, you came. Because when God decides to do something, there's no stopping him. So if God waits an extra 2 days and he's already in there 4 days and the stench is so bad that people are like, Lord, he smells. God's like, it don't matter anyway. Turn it over. Come forth. Because it doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter how disgusting it might look. It doesn't matter how out of bounds it might be. God said, I'll go right into it because it does not intimidate me whatsoever. Come forth. And it'll take all that stuff, all that abuse, all that mistreatment, all that abandonment, and it has to bow to the name of Jesus. And God said, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. It has to bow to me because I beat it. He said, I beat it. It's got to come. Come forth. Come on, come forth, he said. Nothing trumps my voice. Nothing's greater than me. So when I say it, it happens. In spite of your belief that the enemy has some sort of say, he doesn't. I tell him what to do. And so when God decides that your season is over and it's time for you to come into the next season, it's over. Because there's something greater at stake than just your suffering. God said, I see that you suffer, but listen, I want you to enjoy a little bit of the spoils of that too. Come on over here. That's what makes the cross so beautiful, that we don't serve a God who's still on there, because what it does is, it does something in our mind, Maria, where all we see is suffering. But he wants you to know that it's not just about the suffering. It's about the glory of the resurrection. I don't want to keep you dead. I don't want to keep you down. I don't want to keep you there too long. I know when it's time to pull you up and that you need to see that I am he. Yeah. And I'll wait just so you know there's no doubt. And when you know there's no doubt, nothing can stop it. And that's what the world needs right now. He needs no doubt Christians. No, there's no doubt. I know there's no doubt that he came through for me. That's why he said, I need you to wait. Because when this is done, there won't be a question of who I am. So if you're fighting and you're struggling and you're downer, he said, stay down a little bit longer. Because when you come out, you're not going to recognize who you are. You're going to see something about me you have not seen before, and then I'm going to send you to the people, and that you're going to testify who I am, and you're going to change cities, and you're going to change nations because of what I'm doing, and there's going to be no doubt of who I am. That's what God said, but you got to handle this. You got to handle it. You got to handle it. Handle it. I'm not just going to give it to you. You're going to wait another couple days. I see you. I see you. I see it. I know you're crying. I know you're struggling. I know you're fighting. And I'm going to wait a little bit longer because I like what I see. I like what I see. I like myself in you right now. And when God starts to like himself, you know what's going good. And then as things begin to change, and as you begin to get strength where you need to get strength, God begins to release you little by little, and you begin to walk in your purpose. You walk a little freer. You walk a little lighter. You got more confidence because you realize if God didn't do it for you, no one else would have. And a lot of times what we do is we forget to praise the one who actually did it for you. And it's not the other people around you. Though we like to think that their help was necessary and their prayers were. But if it wasn't for Jesus getting all the way down in there and pulling you up out of that stuff, it wouldn't happen. I appreciate the prayers. I appreciate the uplifting thoughts. But if Jesus did not come through, it wouldn't happen. That's how I identify with the cross. I don't identify with a group of people. I'm gonna, man. I'm just, hold on for a minute. I'm not LGBTQYLN. I'm not any of it. I'm not any group. I identify with him. Because when I identify with him, guess what? Things begin to make sense because I begin to realize that's in the cross where life starts. My affiliation with a group does not help identify me with the source of who I am as a person and my identity. It doesn't work that way. As a Christian, your identity is here. You take away all that other stuff. Well, when somebody asks you, who do you identify with? What are you today? What are you? I'll tell you what, I identify with the cross, man, and what Jesus did. That's who I am. Oh, really? Yeah, that's what I do. And there's no mistaking that. There should be no one in this room who calls himself a Christian who has an identity crisis. No one in this room. There's no other way. Where are you looking? Right there. That's where it is. That's where it is. That's where I go to. That's my cross. Yeah, that was a starting point for me. And guess what? It continues to be the go-to. But what happens is that sometimes people sleep on God. You know what that means when you sleep on somebody? You kind of overlook them a little bit because they don't look like they're really going to come through. You know, it's a late round draft pick. You're like, who ended up winning like 19 Super Bowls? And all of a sudden you begin to look and you're like, you know what? There might be something more to this than the way I'm seeing it. Because God has a funny way of showing up and just letting his presence know. And just so you know that he knows where you're at. And so he knows, hey, just so you know, I'm there. And you understand the presence of God is there? Don't sleep on me. I'll show up. Because God will get the praise. He will get the glory. No matter what the world tries to say, no matter what the world tries to do, God said, I'm going to get the glory. When I'm lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me. And guess what? I know it's Easter. I know the world boxes me in on Easter and everyone comes to church. Either way, I'm going to get the glory. I'm getting it. But we box them in and we sleep on them because their promise is not coming to pass as fast as it should. And we tend to hold back our praise and we hold back our allegiance because if God did say it was going to come and it's not coming, then I guess maybe God really doesn't have it for me. And then what we do is instead of continuing to push forward in faith, we go to sleep. And our faith sleeps. If you've ever been in an emergency room and someone's dying and they get the paddles out and they press clear and they jolt that person back up, you know the reality of what it looks like to bring someone back from death to life. That one jolt. They needed something more than themselves to get them back up. And God said, what I'm doing right now is I'm rubbing some things together and I'm clear and I'm putting some things back in so that you come back to life again. Because a lot of people have fallen asleep and they've tucked their faith away in tombs and they put it in caves because I wasn't coming when they thought I was going to come. And so they decided that maybe it's better for me just to hide. And God said, I'm bringing everybody out of hiding. I'm bringing sin out of hiding. Clear. Sin, you got to come out. Okay. Confusion, you got to come out. Ooh, there is peace. Okay. Joy, ooh, that's coming back out. Why? Because joy has always been there. It's coming back out. And so he's doing that all. Your faith, where are your faith? God said, I'm just stirring it right back up again. Clear. So guess what? I have to start praising him again because God said, I'm working it all out. I'm working it all back out. Clear. Don't sleep on me. I'll come when you don't think I'm coming. It's one of the reasons why he said, I'm coming like a thief in the night. Don't sleep on me. You never know when I'm coming. Keep your eyes open. I'll show up on Monday. You didn't expect me to be there. And I'll say, clear, where did that come from? Because I'm there. Clear, don't sleep. I'm not slow. I'm right on time. Clear, it's falling apart. No, it's not. Clear. Your faith level begins to change. Why? Because you see God. I know where you're at. I'm going to come right where you're at in the middle of your situation. I'm going to heal you up so good that there's no doubt, so that when you praise me, it comes from a heart of genuine praise, because you know if I didn't do it, no one would have did it. And it's between me and you. That's why I did it the way I did it. That's why I'm showing you stuff about myself that I'm not showing other people, because when I get done with you, it's not going to be anything you're going to be able to compare to. I'm doing it with you. I knew you'd fight, he said. Some of y'all in situations right now are like, God, why? God said, I knew you'd fight for it. There was something down inside of y'all wanted to get at. I knew you'd fight me like to get it. God also trusts people with suffering and waiting. Because in that suffering and that waiting, God said, I'm building something in you that you can't see. And that when you come out of it and when you come through the transformation, you'll think so differently and you'll identify so much with who I am that nothing in this world will be able to tell you apart from my truth. And I'm looking for people right now who are soldiers. I'm looking for people right now who are going to go the distance, who are going to go into the enemy's camp, who are going to suffer if need to be suffer, who are going to take a hit. You got to take the hit, take the hit. I need people who are going to be able to take it and keep going. I'm trusting you with it. I'm going to come through, but I'm going to wait a little bit. You know how it is. You get the promise. You're like, yeah, because we like the promises. Like, oh my God, yeah. One day, I'm going to spend eternity with him. There's going to be no more devil. You're going to be doing all these things. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm going to praise him because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, I am. Just look at me. I look so good. And all of a sudden, you're all in the promises, right? All the promises are yes and amen. And then it's like, oop, clear. Here's a little faith walk. Ooh, that hurt. That hurt. That one hurt. Okay, ooh. That hurt. Ooh, that one came up again. Lord, what you doing? What happened to the promise, Lord? What happened to it? Don't worry. Don't worry about it, son. This is part of the process. I'm just learning. You're just learning how to take rejection. Identify. You want to identify with me? Or you got to? Oh, we got to back up a little bit. I got to teach you some stuff about misuse, being misunderstood, about rejection, about your personality. I got to teach you about all that stuff so that you don't get spooked when people disagree with you. You remember, because you're identifying with me, they didn't like me, they spit on me, but identify. And Jesus does every once in a while. You're going through that stuff. Maria, I appreciate you saying that today, because that was on my mind this week. When Jesus always comes back and says, when you're going through something, identify. Who do I identify with? You're right, Lord. Remember, you wanted glory. You're right. Pain. Suffering. But don't worry about another side. I'm going to raise you up. Because there is another side. For Lazarus, there was another side. And then, well, what if he wouldn't have raised him from the dead? In this particular instance, he did. He said he would, and he did. And so the other side of it, there's resurrection. It doesn't mean there won't be death. You can't avoid one and have the other. It doesn't work that way. It's the reason why Paul, I believe, couples it. He said, the glory of the resurrection and the fellowship of the suffering. Let's just put all that together because they go hand in hand. So death is inevitable. We get concerned about, I just don't want to die. You're going to. And as a Christian, it should be cool. But that one day when it does come is that one day. But in between, there are going to be little steps of death. Because you are learning to identify. And God is so good. He said, I want you to learn just a little bit what it feels like to reign in this life before you get to the next one. And so I'm going to show you that process now so that when you get over into glory, you're familiar with this. I don't like my circumstances. Who does? Who enjoys them to the fullest? I'm thoroughly enjoying this beating, Lord. Thank you very much. Yes, I love it. Yes, I understand. There does come a time you just have to accept it and be like, yes, thank you, Lord, for the pain. I get it because of what it produces. But when you look down, deep down inside of it, you can't say with full assurity that you enjoy the full work of God that's going on in your life. You can thank God for the work, but you don't enjoy the full work all the time. It's for the joy that you set before him, but you don't enjoy it all the time. But in the end, you like the result, and you're like, thank you, God, that you're with me in it, because I would have dipped about 5 months ago. So let's just be honest and be real about a relationship with the Lord, because glory is great. Pain sucks. But if you want to look better and you want to feel better, you'll go through it because you know what it does for you. And you have to get over the mental hurdle of, this is going to hurt. It will. It will. So don't misconstrue the fact and don't allow the enemy to lie to you when he begins to tell you that if he loved you, you wouldn't be going through this pain. It is a lie. It's a lie. It is the fact that I am going through it, that he loves me, because no discipline is pleasant. But if I allow myself to be trained by it, it produces a harvest of righteousness at the end. Being around people and being in a community of people, especially in the fitness community, you see people's worst days and you see people's like best days, and you see some of the climb and you see some of the things that they go through just by what comes out of their mouth. Because they're in the process of getting better. And there's no telling what might come out. Because if God gets into a real tight spot and something that's real knotted up, sometimes you can't control the outburst. And what happens with people is they try to minimalize what they go through because they don't want anybody to see the suffering that's in there. And what God does is that God says, hey, listen, if we're going to do this thing, you got to allow me to have access to you and be open so that if I want to bring healing or deliverance to you at a time that is not appropriate for you, you won't be okay with it. That's why we stress being in community, but also we stress just being, don't sleeping on God. Because God will do it in a fitness class at 5:42 on a Monday night. Where you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling on the mat. Yeah. And you're dealing with God about some stuff. And God said, yeah, here we are now, right? You're just dealing with stuff. He'll do it at 5:42 on a Monday night. You'll sleep better, though. God knows we got to get to it, because he's not going to get to it unless you're stirred up. Hear me. God gets the stuff when you're stirred up. That's why he allows things to get stirred up in your emotions so he can get to stuff. How else is he going to get to it? Because you hold it. And so God says, the way I work is I'm going to stir it up so it comes out. Ah, yes, there it is. I feel so much better. Don't you? Because God said, I'm going to get it out of you. That's why I love you so much that I just want you to get it out. Don't sleep on God. Don't sleep on him. Lord, it's 5 o'clock in the morning right now. What? Yeah, we're going to do this right now, son. I'm good. The other world, they're up. The other side of the world's up. Don't sleep on him because he don't sleep. You can't expect God to do something new if you're trying to box him into the old ways. It just doesn't work that way. And if you've been dealing with stuff, and the thing about Christians is funny because they try to like pinpoint God all the time. Like, okay, he did it. Now this way, he did it this way. He came in this way when I wasn't ready. So next time I won't be ready. And you're trying to like, where's he coming? And then God will come right through your legs and you don't even see him because he'll do something different. Don't sleep on him. And some people might think, well, he waited 4 days. And so why wasn't it three? Because he was in a tomb 3 days. Got to do something different. He was in a tomb 4 days. It's okay. God will take mud. He'll spit it on. He'll spit on the mud and put it on somebody's eyes. Say, all right, what do you see now? I see men walking like trees. Hold on. What do you see now? I can see now. I mean, we serve a God who is limitless. We serve a God who is omnipresent. We serve a God who is omniscient. He's immutable. It does not change. Sometimes he'll change up the way he does it because he won't be held to a former way of doing things or a former way of thinking because you can't hold God to anything. That's why I said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Shall you not perceive it? So if you, in your life right now, you feel like God's doing something new, there should be a perception, oh, there's something new here. Something going on. Oh, I can't rely on the old one. That Genesis story was good when I was 8, but we ain't looking at that one anymore. There's something different right now. God said, now we're in Job. God forbid you go through Leviticus. You got some real issues you got to deal with, but guys, I'm doing different now. And you can sense when God's doing it different. Because the feeling that you get is different than the way you used to get it. There's a difference. Because God's up to something. And the struggle is, okay, he's doing something different. How is he going to come through this time? Y'all wait for it. I'm going to come through. Don't worry about it. I'm going to do something on a bigger level here because it's not just about you anymore. I'm going to swell you up. And there are going to be things that are going to come out of you that you probably never thought would come out of you. But because I'm doing a work inside of you, don't you feel that right now? God's just doing something on a greater level. There are things coming out, God said, that you didn't even know were in there. I'm just digging them out. Digging them out, hidden behind all that stuff. I'm digging it out because you're a treasure. That's why you ought to be the people who are praising God the most and the loudest because of his goodness. Yeah, you ought to be. It's not like one of those things where it's like one hand up on the worship set down this way. It's like, yeah, he was good. No, you ought to be doing it the loudest. Well, I don't feel it. That's the problem. If you would do it when you don't feel it, all of a sudden it would transform your attitude and your perspective about God, and God will move you through things. We've talked about before. Things would change. Clear. Faith just grew. And God's got a little barometer he looks at. Ooh, their faith level's good. Michael, look, it went up. Faith, because that's what God's looking for. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible. Do it when you don't feel like it, and God will move you. And you'll see things and you'll swell because God's pleased with that. And he rewards those who diligently seek him. The more I do it, the more I seek him, the more I find him. Let's all stand to our feet. Man, come on up here. Golf clap. Thank you. Listen, Lazarus' story is not so different than some of your stories. When God said, I know, but we got some stuff still to do here. We're going to wait a couple more days. Don't worry about it. I know where you're at, but just so you know, I'm working all things together for good. All things. To them that love me, who are called according to my purpose. All things. That means that there are other things that are going around you that you don't know anything about. So God said, I'm working it all out. And so if you can just wait on me, we're going to get somewhere. We'll get, don't. Just wait on me. Here's what happens sometimes in the body of Christ. While we're waiting, sometimes it falls into inactivity. And that's dangerous. Because inactivity leads to idleness. Idleness leads to issues. You don't think so? It's one of the reasons why in the book of Isaiah, Alan put that scripture up for me. Chapter 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall not run. They shall run, not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So when you look at that word, wait upon the Lord, it does not mean do nothing. Hold up under the tension of the waiting. I can't do it. Get it back up. Hold up under the tension. The more you do it, the stronger you get. The longer I can hold attention. Because I'm teaching myself. It's not how I feel about it. But I'm waiting on the Lord. And as I continue to do it, my strength begins to grow. Because in the end, that's what God's looking for. Strength. Strength. I want you to make it. I want you to run and not grow weary. I want you to walk and not faint. I want you to be able to get out of this building this week. And I want you to be able to finish this week out without determining in your head or predetermining when you're going to walk out on me on Friday. I don't want predeterminations, he said. I want you to be able to say, no, I'm going the distance no matter what. Yeah, it's not just saying the temptation is not going to be there, but you're going to keep going no matter what. No one's talking about the thought, the temptation. That's life. But what we are talking about is, but you know what, Lord? Thank you for the strength to keep pushing. Thank you for the strength to keep holding. Thank you for the strength because I know you're right on time. I'm going to keep doing it. And God said, every time you do it, I graduate you into a new level. And I can trust you with more. Because that's the key. I can trust you with more. I want more. Hold attention. Hold it. You got to take a band this week. Just walk around with a band. Go buy one. Get a bandana, get something, get a band, just walk around with it this week. Let it, as a reminder, have it in your car. Just, oh, tension. There it is, tension. Because it's not about just me completing it. I can go back there right now and I can complete a rep. I can do something. It's not about just me doing something. Can I wait for it? Can I wait for it? Under the tension. Because when God gives it to you, you have to be able to hold it. Lord, I know you got something for me. And what happens is that sometimes it's years before it happens. Years, years. Because God is doing something and perfecting you because he knows it's on a greater scale than you think. And I need you just to be able to hold the tension of waiting. Because if you can hold it, you'll understand the gravity of it and you'll appreciate it when you get it. Because you knew what it took to get you there. Tension, tension, yeah. I want God. We want the promises. Lord, give it to me. Abraham wanted a son. Had to wait 25 years. And even after he got it, God said, I want it back. It's the tension of, thank you, Lord, for giving it to me, but I give it back to you because I know it's yours. I just want to look good. I don't like the in-between. Attention. We're missing out on life. Oh man, you know what? Man, thank God I like when the tomb was rolled back and there was no one there. I don't like looking at the cross. I like the finished product. But the struggle's another thing. I want the world to be changed. I do. But I can't face adversity. Lord knows I can't speak up for truth. And God said, we got a lot of work to do. You better slow down. Lord, for every person in here who's holding up under tension right now, we thank you, God, that your grace is sufficient for them. Give them the strength to endure the twisting and the turning. Thank you that you're with them in the middle of it. You haven't left them. You said you would never leave or forsake. And your promises are yes, and we do say amen. And we know that when we do say amen, we say yes to the process also. I thank you for the tears that have been shed in this room. All the tears. The faith, God, that's been built through struggle. Lord, there's people in here who believe in you for unimaginable things. Because you said that you would do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Unimaginable. You said, dream bigger. God, I thank you for dead things coming back to life in this room, in Jesus' name. I thank you for dead things coming back to life in this room. I thank you for healing emotionally. I thank you for fruitfulness. God, the latter days will be better than the former. And God, that there will be things that we look back on and say, it was but God who got me through. I thank you, God, for the life that you promised us through the cross. But God, at the same time, I thank you that this is not our end. The end game is with you, because we know that if you began the good work in us, that you will complete it until the day you come back and get us, in Jesus' name.